The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening, and the doctrine of testing. We'll pick up Roman numeral 3, page 2 of our notes. All right, whatever else is going on in your life, now's the time to set it aside, along with the old man, and put on the new man, as the Scripture so declares it, to get under the filling of God the Holy Spirit, so that we can once again this evening profit from the study at hand. How we're able to do this, the mechanics, is obviously the rebound technique. So we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for your word, the promises of your word, for those who are faithful to it. And we ask you to bless us once again this evening as we continue to pursue you, the truth of your plan, and incorporate it into our own Christian life, all via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, testing in life is a matter of fact, as well as essential, in regard to our Christian life. Obviously, apart from testing, we have no real tangible measure or standard to critique our own positive volition, obedience to God, and evidence that with respect to our own Christian life. Too often, the Christian life is presented by pastors and others through rose-colored glasses, as if you got your act together and you're doing things right, then everything in your life is going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to go smooth as glass. And if not, then something's wrong with you spiritually. Obviously, that fallacious human viewpoint is that which throws believers off balance, keeps them off guard in regards to realities of living in the Christian life, living in Satan's world. It is a life designed to be tested as we are in and part of the resolution to the angelic conflict as believers in Christ, demonstrating the power of the truth of Bible doctrine as it comes through the power of a positive soul living in a world that's otherwise completely opposite of it, antagonistic to it, contradictive and counter to it. And we are able to rise above it, God's word is, otherwise in that respect. So, testing is a part of life. While obviously we do not have say in regards to our testing in and of itself, we do have a say in regards to the kind of test. Not all tests are a result of, if you will, undeserved suffering, as many will imply or otherwise proclaim regards to their tests in life, that they're being tested rather than actually they are falling as a result of a form of divine discipline or cursing in their life under deserved suffering, and hence that which is set upon them is God trying to give them a spiritual wake-up call otherwise. Yet, obviously, the issue of a test remains in regards to the sorts of tests that there is, in spite of the fact that one may be testing God rather than being tested by God in that vein. So, obviously, if people are placing priorities over God's Word in their life, they're running under STA, unabated, otherwise pursuing the human viewpoint and relationships not sponsored by Bible doctrine, these people and forsaking their NPR, obviously those are the obvious things, the simple things, obviously, and they're experiencing great catastrophe in life, that they should not be quick to say, well, this is just testing. Obviously, I saw a lot of that, and you see it in regards to the fundamentalist world, the street corner preachers that are so rampant in regards to the Midwest, and people, you know, rolling down their windows and saying dirty things at them and cussing them and everything. They go off going, it's undeserved suffering, when in fact it's deserved suffering. It's not just a test. It's God humiliating you on purpose because you are giving Christianity a black eye, things of this nature. So obviously the types of tests are expansive as well as very diverse in regards to the application of testing. And Roman numeral 3, here we pick up with the different categories and types, if you will, of testing. First, these are just as examples. Things that can be tested, animate and inanimate. God's plan for Messiah and salvation. That can be tested and was tested at the first advent. Isaiah 28:16 prophesies regards to Messiah, providing salvation for mankind, he was a tested cornerstone. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Isaiah 28:16, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone. That stone is Jesus Christ, a tested stone. A stone that comes under the most scrutinized critiquing and evaluation of both God and man. And he is called there a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. Who believes in it will not be disturbed. So, as we have noted, even Christ himself is tested. So who are we as believers to think that somehow we are above being tested in regards to our Christian life? Two, obviously, our volition is tested. Our will, our free will. Volition is simply free will. We are free to choose for or against God, to believe doctrine, not to believe it, to come to Bible class, not to come to Bible class, to pursue God's plan for your life, to pursue the things of the world, to pursue positive volition, to pursue people in the world otherwise, in contrast, all these things. We're free to do this. And again, volition is one of the most absolute free things that we actually possess and have the freedom, the ability to express in its most complete way. And while people can force us even to do things physically, they cannot force us, if you will, to recant the faith, to believe what they propose and things of this nature. Zechariah 13:9 in the Minor Prophets. And I will bring the third part through the fire. The fire there in context is the tribulational period. Refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. And that specifically with respect to the positive remnant that will come out of Israel during this 7-year tribulational period. So there we see the same type of language used as we saw in Revelation in the Laodicean period as the church miserably fails in regard to having their volition tested with respect to the truth of doctrine. And we saw the passage of the verse earlier in regards to God, you know, checking our minds, check our hearts, test us, read it, see. So our volition is tested. We proclaim to be positive. We see how positive one is in many respects and how they will handle their tests in life. So three, another thing that we're tested in is the truth of what one hears. You become culpable when you hear the truth, and you can expect to be tested in it. Job 12:11. Does not the ear test words as the palate tastes his food? Is it agreeable or not? Does it satisfy the senses or not? The truth of doctrine obviously satisfies the senses of a positive soul seeking God, wanting to know God's plan and align their own thinking with it, or otherwise it may taste bitter to them because they are not so willing to be inclined to listen with that ear, with the ears through the gap system and the spiritual truth in isolation of the sin nature. And we saw in the same verse, four, another thing is tested the value of what one eats. Food is important. Obviously, it provides us with sustenance, energy, life to live. And what one eats does hold value. We see that in terms of restaurants. You don't go and get your food for free. And the better the cook, the better the chef, usually the more expensive the food, the more exotic it becomes, the more expensive it becomes, things of that nature. And obviously, you can translate that in regards to the food of Bible doctrine. Five, another thing that's tested is weather conditions. Luke 12:56. You can look at the weather and often determine the immediate future, at least. Now, with the modern technology, it can be projected fairly accurately over even very long periods of time. But in regards to Christ chastising the religious leaders in their facade of religiosity, the first thing that he brings out is what they are truly, and they're hypocrites, hypocritical. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky to know what season based on where the stars, the constellations might be. Sailors can look at the skies out in the ocean and determine often what the weather is going to be the next day and things of this nature based on the color, etc. Men know how to intellectually evaluate even the weather, but these cannot evaluate the time in which they live, which is the first advent, as prophesied by the book of Daniel, which they should be very familiar with in their own lives. But why do you not analyze this present time? Figure it out. God standing before you in the person of Jesus Christ, your Messiah, and you're off running around exalting yourself in your intellect in regards to your abilities in a worldly way rather than the true spiritual principles and issues that are set right before you. But that's what negative volition does. So weather conditions can be tested. Six, the conditions of history as to determine the spiritual condition of a nation or direction of history. Again, the same verse, Luke 12:56b. Obviously, with the revelation under our belt, that gave us a good handle in regards to the time in which we live. So that we're not off guard We can identify the major players of the world that are involved in regards to all this, and not be running around amok questioning every aspect of occurrence of historical significance that and make guesswork at so much of it in regards to who the Antichrist is going to be, the timing, and all these other things. See, and that's important so that you're not off balance. You recognize in regards to living a Christian life, you're going to be bombarded by the funding mentality around you in regards to any Christian support, apart from those who are otherwise like-minded with you under sound doctrine, other Christians. Because you live in the Laodicean period. You know, the major hazard in regard to Church Universal is producing the vomit that God's going to choke on and spit you out. The lukewarm scenario, the loss of zeal for doctrine, and trying to insert one's own rationalization and human viewpoint in regards to doctrine. No, we want to be tested just like the Jews, the remnant positive Jews, will be tested in tribulation whole period, refined by as by silver as with gold. See, to make it sharp, so that we can see through all this, no matter what else goes on around us, no matter how chaotic it may become otherwise, how confusing. You can go on the internet and you can find, you know, a few people, I say a few, in the Christian world that might even actually recognize the USA in prophecy being Babylon. But you hardly ever run across anyone apart from other like-minded people that you know that truly identifies Revelation, the Babylon of Revelation 17 as a religious Babylon, as Catholicism. All this, we have a clear read on, so that we can walk through the maze of time, and no matter what Satan stirs up around us, and what negative volition may do to murky the waters, we can still see through it clearly. And the conditions in history are getting ripe in regards to God yanking us as a church off this planet and taking history into its next age of the final set, 7 years of the age of Israel to bring about the millennium. You don't have to concern yourself with regards to truly who's going to be elected the next go around. I can guarantee you there's not a candidate on board that's not hooked into the New World Order. And if they're not, they will follow its rules otherwise. Even your most conservative constitutionalists, like Ron Paul. You can see his theological distortions. He's an all-millennialist. He thinks Christ will only return if we bring peace on this planet. That's why he's such a peacenik in regards to all of his political deals. All you got to do is look at him and read their ideology, and you see these things. See, the normal funding's not going to see that. So, not that we're saying that you know, peace wouldn't be nice, but that's not the way it's going to be. He's just another part of that crowd. Peace. See. So discernment in regard to the time in which we live, something that is beyond me. How people can rationalize leaving Bible doctrine at a time like this in history. It really is. Rationalizing, forsaking the assembly, rather than truly engaging in Hebrews 10:25, all the more so as the day approaches, the closer you get. And we will be tested. Volition will be tested. And essentially, in general, people will reveal what they're made out of. Another thing that can be tested at point 7 is animals. Luke 14:19. In the example of buying an ox, cattle. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. In regards to not attending the dinner, that's part of the parable, looking at negative volition and being occupied in regards to one's business over God's plan for their life. How many people do that? How many people put their profession over God's plan for their life? That's when Bible class becomes a convenience. I'm not talking about the occasional miss that one may be tested in and have to do on occasion. I'm talking about the persistence of missing, see, because of work. People have taken lesser jobs than most of us will ever take so they can stay in Bible class. And it's amazing how God still provided for them and waited for God to advance them later on in life. But, you know, you can say what you want to say, or you can say what you can say in regards to doctrine, but their volition is tested and either they pass or fail. So 8, the truth of God's will in Bible doctrine. Obviously, the general category underwriting all of this, Romans 2:18. If you bear the name Jew, verse 17, rely upon the law and boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are superior, literally, being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, the ignorant, a teacher of the immature, having the law, the embodiment of the knowledge and of the truth. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You preach that one should not steal, do you steal? Etc., etc. So the claim of evaluating God's Word to be able to instruct others here, as Paul exhorts those of Jewish lineage that are part now of the church, etc. His will to be tested, that testing comes through in many ways, how the communicator themselves, what they hold to, whether they're hypocritical in regards to what they teach. Let's see. Romans 2:18, 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's your phase two, the likeness factor. Second part of how God created man for His divine intentions. First is to sell him a factor in His image, having a soul, etc., spiritual in nature. But then His likeness, growing up in doctrine, imitating God. And you can't do that by following the drumbeat of the world. The drum major of the world is not going to take you down the proper path. You've got to renew your mind. You've got to reprogram your mind with the mind of Christ. That's the truth of Bible doctrine. And the purpose is that you may prove or discern what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And God's will is perfect. Again, you know, God's not going to tell you to compromise His Word as His directed will for your life. Some of the excuses that you hear people give in regards to, you know, why they do what they do. Well, you're violating this, you're violating that. Sounds like to me you're just giving your SGA the green light and producing that bastard child called sin. See? So God's will, the truth of doctrine, we learn it and we will be tested in it. Then 9, the communicating spirits claiming to represent God, to test the spirit of knowledge, of wisdom. Obviously, with modern technology, communicating is at an extreme high level. The availability of what one can consume intellectually. And you are to test those spirits. And how you do so is, number one, making sure you're being led by God, the Holy Spirit. Coupled with the truth of Bible doctrine, which He is the ultimate author. 1 John 4:1. Do not believe every spirit, beloved. Who are they listening to? They're not listening to their pastor. They're not listening to their right man often who's on doctrine. You know, who are they listening to? The spirits that are not sponsored by God. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Again, the importance of being in fellowship, not only in regards to yourself, but also the communicator in his studies, as well as his teaching, so that the supernatural system of God the Holy Spirit can provide the purity of wisdom through the proper channels spiritually. Be it the human spirit, God the Holy Spirit, representing the person of Jesus Christ and His thinking. You see people on doctrine that are giving an ear to others that do not align themselves to doctrine. They have their own spiritual problems that are severe. You know, why do you cater to that? You should intercede, if all possible, if you have the authority to do so. As an authority, obviously. Even then, it may not do any good. We understand that. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 and 21. Do not despise prophetic utterances, the truth of doctrine, which all doctrine comes through prophecy in its, at least in its initial state. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. We just don't give you a principle of doctrine here, such as testing, and make a proclamation that that's going to be part of your Christian life with our own ideas. This is why we have all these verses incorporated into all of our doctrines. And we look at them. We are carefully examining in regard to the subject of testing. And we're looking at it across the board to make sure that we don't overreact, underreact. We have the proper balance, the proper context in regards to how verses are dealt with, and all these other things. The next category here of things that can be tested is men testing men. Will be tested by others. One, again, the Queen of Sheba tested Solomon in regards to his wisdom. We read that verse earlier. She heard of, his wisdom became universal in regards to acknowledgement. He became renowned, obviously. And she being a person of great import, etc., one to check his knowledge. You go someplace, you have to be someplace around negative volition or those not on doctrine. You wish they would ask. Unfortunately, when you're a pastor, too often they find out that's what you are to begin with, and they're just numb. Oh, I better not talk to him. He's a pastor. Until you say, "Oh, I like tequila." Oh, really? What kind of pastor are you? One that you probably can't handle, so back off. Jesus tested Philip. There is a proper place for spiritual authorities to test other authorities under their charge. John 6:6. Obviously, we had the God Master testing in this case, but it happens down the chain of command. John 6:6. In regards to the 5,000 that's fed, Jesus is going to perform a miracle. Jesus therefore lifted up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. And Philip funks the test. In spite of the fact that he knows he's Jesus Christ, who Jesus is. See, this kind of things kind of blow your mind. The obvious nature of the knowledge of people that's before them. And yet, they turn around and they still can't think clearly in regards to it. Disciples are a perfect example of that. In their dull days, they had all this evidence. In fact, there was two feedings that occurred, and they flunked both times, in spite of the fact they saw him do this once before. See, and they still flunked the test. That's just dull spiritual dullness. People that are simply wrapped up in their emotions or whatever else is going on in their life rather than truly taking doctrine seriously. Trying to wrap their minds around that instead. So, Jesus tested Philip, his disciples, in that regards. Paul testing those under his charge. 2 Corinthians 8:22. In regards to Titus, protege of Paul, along with Timothy, two pastor teachers. before they were given the authority over their own individual churches, which by all accounts looks like Timothy ended up in Ephesus. Titus, I'm not sure about him. But they were given obligations and responsibilities, see, to see how they would perform, to evidence their own spiritual matriculation and maturity. Here, as it is in regards to the necessity to carry funds from to help other churches out and things of this nature. And Paul just didn't send somebody says, "Oh, I want to be your understudy." Okay, great. He just didn't send them out to some Baptist church, and let them loose. No, he checked them out, and he was pretty hardcore, like the situation with Barnabas and his cousin Mark. Paul, as it goes for the apostles, is declared to be the greatest, if you will, the highest standard of the apostles. See, that's how he operated. That's how he ran his ship. It is not to be mean-spirited, things of that nature, but to make sure that what is occurring when you have somebody under your charge, and they're going to do something on your behalf, they represent you. That's like a boss at work. Your boss tells you to do something, it's your responsibility to go do it. You represent that boss. See, you need to think about, well, my boss sucks. Well, you got a bad mental attitude. I don't care if he does suck. Now that's your responsibility. That's part of growing up spiritually, becoming mature, recognizing that. And that's why often authorities are exact in regards to giving instructions and what they expect of others. 2 Corinthians 8:22, enough said on that. And we have sent with them our brother, Titus, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things. It's interesting. He says many things denotes that there's a lot. He's been tested more in one category, more so than not to say that he didn't pass all this test. But now even more diligent because of this great confidence in you. There is something about the positive adjusted believer for those where there is true positive volition lays with them, even if they may be a little spiritually behind at certain times or like other positive volition that is adjusted, and they see that blossoming and coming to fruition, it energizes the positive volition in the other believer. See? It's just a natural thing that occurs. But Paul didn't recommend based on relationships, family or otherwise. He did it based on the facts, how the person performed, as people should be evaluated in regards to their jobs. And that doesn't always mean that that's the way it's going to be. Maybe the test is you are the one that busts a hump on the job and everybody else is lazy. But because they know the boss, you know, they get the promotions or whatever. So that's your test. But understand, man, that's a lot of SG3 coming in your direction if you're doing it in fellowship. God will exalt at the right time. But as it is, everyone goes through beast barracks to some degree. You don't make somebody a general or an officer immediately without having to prove themselves under very harsh conditions, generally speaking, otherwise. That they're capable. Even the military recognizes that. You don't take every Andy Griffith and make him a patent, see, if you like his shows. He's funny. or Abbott and Costello or whoever. If you don't know who they are, I'm sorry, you're too young. Four, testing deacons before they assume office. That's part of the requirement, which we do our best to follow here. 1 Timothy 3:10. In regards to deacons and the godliness code for the deacons, let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. So one who aspires to the office of deacon, which is completely voluntary, whether a deacon serves or doesn't serve, that's between them and God. That's the difference between a deacon and a pastor in that respect. A pastor's there, and it truly is a life commitment. I just can't go running off if I choose not to do it. I mean, I could, but and not be right before God. But a deacon is a different story. So you don't judge people based on the fact whether they step down from the office, whatever. That's their business, see. But on the other end of the coin, before they go into office, you do test them in regards to giving them responsibilities with respect to the role of the church, check their witness of life, and things of this nature. And if they fall within the category of acceptance in that regards, then obviously the pastor's usually the first hand to approve it. Said, all right, well, put your name on the list and the church will vote. And as long as they're qualified going in, I've done my part. Now, after they get in, obviously, unless there's something that's obvious before in regards to their life that is a total disrespect in regards to their own person of reversionism or whatever, then it's up to the church to continue to renew their aspirations to stay on the board. Not to embarrass anybody or whatever, but a deacon cannot control the volition of their family. Obviously, if they're managing their household, that's all that's necessary. Once they get in, obviously, if they've already, both parties usually are in class, or else I wouldn't give them approval to begin with. And the board and the church recognize that. But after the fact, you got to recognize these things. Deacon like that has my full support still. I'm looking for a person that does their job right. And then it's up to the church otherwise as their renewal process, as we do it every 2 years, goes through. And as long as the church has confidence, that's the way it is. It's in God's hands. See, so I just want to clear the air on that. Make sure you know where I'm coming from. Like I said, we can't make everybody positive. You know, you have to. If my wife went positive, God forbid, not that she's thinking about it, even though maybe after being married to me, she might think about it more than she did. But otherwise, you know, does that mean I give up my church, my ministry? No. Now, if my house became such chaotic and I couldn't manage my household, then you got another situation. See, that's the way it works. The doctrine works. It works beautifully. You plug it in, and here it is. See. So, Barnabas split from Paul didn't diminish Paul's ministry. That's quite a unique situation. Barnabas one is basically was instrumental in regards to Paul in his early doctrinal days. He would have been like the teacher to the student in that regards. But then he ended up and he got a little goofy over family, of all things. Over family. See. And, I mean, Barnabas got his act back together. But either way. We're not here to discuss all that, but it all is the doctrine. See, it's doctrine in our soul. How many things we have to draw from in our doctrinal frame of reference so that we can come to these sound conclusions. We have no excuse, truly. So deacons, as well as pastors, are to be tested as a pastor going through beast barracks. You're expected to hold down a full-time job. You're expected to go through 3 years of graduate studies. That's 12 hours a week of classroom time in the four primary categories. Back then, we were also required to be in Bible class 5 times a week. And you start slacking off in those areas, it's definitely going to get you. It'll show people for what they are. And then as they wait, they continually, still can be put to the test, staying under, maintaining the godliness code in their own life. I remember when Maranatha, when they first started the seminary, that was the first time around, and so they were trying to figure all this out. And the question was proposed, well, to the seminary students as we were graduating, should we go ahead and ordain you now? But the doctrine says that if you ordain us and we get goofy before we get a church, and we go get a church, it's going to come back on your head. So that doctrine is brought out, and they go, oh, no, we'll wait till God says, all right, you got a church, you're out of here. So you bam, bam, hit you up back of the head, God bless you, and here you go. So, doctrine. How different is it, than what you see out there in the fundy world? Maybe some people just don't recognize the exact nature in regards to, how doctrine really does work sometimes. 6, believers testing their... Five, believers testing themselves before participating in the Lord's table. Again, we exhort to do so as a reminder. But even if I didn't mention it at some time, it's still the believer's responsibility. And to make sure that you're in fellowship, that you're not running in reversionism otherwise, and making a mockery of the very thing that the Lord's table symbolizes, victory over death in all categories, spiritual, temporal, operational, etc. Victory over the sin nature, eternally as well as experientially, positionally as well as experientially. 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. So, before you partake of the elements, rebound if you have to. That's one of those ones that you want to test God in that area. It can bring immediate, usually, quite severe divine discipline in the body. 6, in believers testing their phase 2 applications. A lot of times the mentality is just do, That's all you're producing a lot of times. Just 2 of those. Now you want to make sure that your applications are right. They're in line with doctrine. You're doing it in fellowship. Galatians 6:4. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not regard to another. That obviously is sanctified boasting, to make sure that you are performing God's will in your life correctly, etc. And if recognition is deserved, it will be stated and it can be recognized in that respect. So, Obviously, yes, God is an exacting God. People may think, well, laying all this on somebody's doorstep and people are just not going to apply. Well, that's their problem, not mine. I'm not going to compromise doctrine. I'm not going to get soft because of other people's lackadaisical attitudes, because of their own rebellious nature. Forget it. We want to do it right. We do the best we can. Obviously, we got grace. And things don't always go right. But the truth of doctrine, there's no reason to ever compromise and rationalize it. Then you had the category of God testing men. God testing men. And that's where we'll pick up Thursday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to lighten us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.